morning, everybody. Good to see you. We're talking about the presence of God being here today, and amen. Yes, the potential in this room with you and what God is ready to do in your life is beyond our comprehension. And we've been in a series for, you know, this is going to be chapter 7 of the book that's being written, and I can't give you the whole chapter, but I can give you the highlights of what the Lord's talking to me about. And I just feel like today when you leave, you're going to be encouraged about who you are. And we say that often, don't we? But we still don't say it enough. Who you are and God's plan. Now, he's wanting to do some things in the earth today. Does everybody agree that God wants to work? Everybody agree that he asked the question, who will let him? Amen. And inside of every one of us needs to be the response, I will let you, Lord. Send me. Use me. Do what you got to do. Do it through me. Wouldn't that be a correct answer? And in this room, the potential in each person is wow. Now, God's not going to finish what he started without you. You may choose not to let him use you, but he's going to have someone to help him finish what he started. And that's the group that decides to be his church, to be his sons, to be his, amen, bride. That's the group that make a conscious decision to unify with his agenda and let him finish this through them. Now, keep in mind, every one of us needed the blood of Jesus Christ to be able to be used by God. We needed the mercy of God to achieve, amen, this yes. We needed God to come to us in such a way that out of us was that emphatic, yes, Lord. Because I can't even say yes without the Lord's help. No one can come to him unless his spirit draw them. And the wow factor today is that God cares about me and you so much that he will let his presence woo us in. The danger, though, with us is that we'll let his spirit be comforting and woo us in, but sometimes we won't let him feel us. We'll feel him, but we won't let him feel us up. Amen? And the drawback is one thing simple that he began to show me this week in looking at this message on grace-filled relationships. Grace-filled relationships. And it's interesting how God talks to us as we're going through challenges in life. He gets the message through. And we find out it's really not about us, it's about something else. You know, 2,000 years ago, hanging on a cross, it was about me. It was about you, amen, and him. Since then, it's been about him and others. And this thing called grace-filled relationships is huge. Now, according to science, every one of us needs our brain, right? We all agree with that? But the potential of your brain is not being lived up to. Need all of it. Amen. You use it, but you don't use but a small part of it. And according to studies and science, amen, even though we need our brain, we only live up to 10% potentially at best. Your high IQ people, they operate within the level of 10%. I don't want them to find out what my level is. But your potential is 100%. And I hadn't met anybody that wouldn't like to go to the 100% potential. And the Lord's saying you can. The Lord's saying it. But you're going to need him to do it. Now, what he needs from us is to take the 10% that we live within and give it back to him. Oh, this is good. Because when we know that he's the door, the passage by which we move into the kingdom of God, and where we live up to our God-called identity, amen, and we come to the resolve, because right now, if I'm wrestling over being a good steward of my time, gifts, resources, it's probably because I haven't given him my mind yet. No, it's pretty bad, 100% chance. Because I think I'm smart. Anybody ever had to battle that idea that you might not be as smart as you think you are? But the temptation is, I get up every morning, I'm going to figure this thing out. I got it together. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fix it. Anybody ever thought about it? And we can't do nothing without God. We can't do anything. The only hope of us getting anywhere is the fact that his mercy started afresh this morning, and mercifully we're breathing right now. And if we're not careful, we think we're doing that on our own. We think that that heart beating is, man, I'm doing that. Man, that's crazy. There's no possible way that we should be even moving around. It's a miracle we exist. Amen. But if I give him my heart, if I give him what I have, in other words, it's really not that I'm giving him anything, I'm returning to him what belongs to him. Amen. He invites me in to see who I really am. And he can begin to create again. You see, God has limited himself to need you and me to finish what he started. Go read it. Romans chapter 16. He gonna finish bruising the head of the serpent with your heel. Through his spirit. Okay. Write that down. You need to do your homework. That God has limited himself as God to need you as a representative to finish what he started and to continue his creating in this earth. There's miracles that are waiting on you and I to get over ourselves. I need to say that again. There's things that you need to happen in your life that's waiting on you to get over you and embrace him. And you're going to have to give him what you got. And if you'll return to him what you have, you're going to find out, my goodness, man, I've been so arrogant. I've been so high and lifted up in my own thinking. Man, I'm no different than the Three Stooges. We're talking about grace-filled relationships. Did you know you have the potential to forgive 490 times in one day? Marty says he can do it. He's married. Quit meddling now. That's a lovebird couple over there. If anybody needs marriage counseling and pastoral counsel, meet with Marty and Danielle. Amen. Tony and Betty. Amen. Tony can help you. You got that backyard looking good. I just feel like having fun today with this. Grace-filled relationships. And God has reserved that you and I is who he's going to use to finish this wonderful thing of filling the earth with his glory. He chose you to be the means by which he fills the earth with his glory. And if you look around, there's trouble on every side. This world's messed up. And God said, oh, no, I'm God. I'm in charge. I don't take Rolaids. I don't have heartburn. I got a plan, and I'm going to finish this thing. And we're trying to figure it out with 10% how God's going to do this. 10% of our brain power, we think we're going to figure out how God, and most of us in the Christian world has come to the conclusion he can't do it. He's going to have to take us out of here to do this because the world's got too bad. And I'm just telling you, the darkest the night, the brighter the light. Whatever the trouble is, God's greater than the trouble that's going on in your life. He wants to bring a revival of his grace into the earth, and he needs somebody that will say, yes, Lord, use me. Does that sound like Jesus? That he would actually go to the extent of sacrificing his own life to save my life so that he can bring life. That he would do that, that he would choose you to be, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. For what purpose? To fill the earth with life. That every time you opened your mouth, you were a type and shadow of who he is. Come on. Look, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Isn't that true? John chapter 1, and begin to read. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And John comes by right behind it, and John the Baptist, he said, and he's the one, Jesus Christ is that light, the light to all men. And the beautiful thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, that the Word of God is the Son of God. Before the Word was written on paper, the voice of God is the Son of God. Y'all got to catch this one. And he came as an example to sons. Right here. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him. Is anybody a part of his body? Did you understand the potential in you? The fullness of God is in his body, the church. But we're still trying to figure it out with 10%. And he's asking us to give up our way of thinking so that he can give us a new way of thinking. And instead of worried about if I can turn the other cheek, we know we can. Come on. Instead of worried about, I don't know if I'm going to make it, man. I'm about ready to kill somebody. But I believe in Jesus. I know I just used a phrase and a statement that you've said it. You may not have said it out loud. But some of you said, I'm going to put the Holy Ghost up over here, and then I'm going to go over here and do this, and I'll come back and get you when I need you, Lord. I think I got this. And we need to be filled with the grace of God. Did you know 490 times divided up into the hours of a day equal three times? You get to forgive someone every 3 minutes. That potential is in every one of you to forgive someone every 3 minutes. And God is looking for a mouthpiece. The most important body part of your body is your tongue. The most unruly part of your body. He needs a mouthpiece. He needs you and I to be his oracle. He needs us to agree with what he's saying, but I can't agree if I'm not hearing. And so you've got all this static going on. You know why static goes on? It's because I'm not in the spirit. I'm not in the 100% potential. I'm over here in my own thinking. I put this religious mask on. I go to church. I'm not really the church, but I go to church. And I say I believe in Jesus, but I'm operating out of my own thinking capacity. And so with that 10% thinking capacity comes all this static. And the enemy loves it because he knows if we never let the thing that's necessary in my life come to me and fill me up, he can hold me captive. Because he can beat me and you at our own thinking. We can't compete with him. And so he's got all these thoughts that he's coming, and he's drawing from our past, where we see ourselves from our past, and he's captive, bringing us into captivity. And all this status going on, and while we're thinking about, man, that's me, that's who I am, that's what I'm identified with, the Lord's trying to tell you something. No, that's not you. And you can't hear him because all this static's going on. In order for you to be able to hear God and have an ear to hear what he's saying, you got to let his spirit draw you in, and then you be willing to give him what you got. And if I'm willing to give him what I have, all my stinking thinking, and the idea that I'm smart, and join with him on what he has to say, I step into my potential. That's why the covenant of Jesus Christ through promise is not a suggestion, it's a mandate. It's a mandate. Until you be endowed with power, don't even try to be a witness. Quit fooling yourself. The idea that you're smart enough to be the witness of Jesus Christ without the empowerment of his spirit is not true. You can't, and I can't do anything without God. But with God, all things, all my potential is realized in Christ. And he will not do it without his children. He will not do it without you joining with him. He's got something he wants to blow your mind with today, but you need to come on board with his objective. And his objective is not necessarily the objective we come up from our stinking thinking. within that 10% capacity and potential that we operate out of, we don't think like God. You know, success equals a big bank account, houses, land, health. But when you go over here, where your real potential is, where God's thoughts are, he begins to show you success is when you join with him on his mission. The fields are white. Great commission. You make it about him and others, and guess what? You know, I happen to have a big bank account. I have a house. I have land. I have, but that's nothing. I just happen to have it. I don't give a flip about it. What I care about is I have the heart of God and I'm after people. And people don't offend me no more because I'm over in the right side of this thing. Amen. I'm living up to my potential in God, and you can slap me and I can turn the other cheek every 3 minutes. Is this okay? Jesus said when you get filled with him and you let him be Lord of your life, you can get slapped every 3 minutes. Tweet that one. And you will win. I know that's my interpretation of it, but it's a right interpretation. How many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus said 70 times 70 in one day. He said you can turn the cheek every 3 minutes. Help me, Jesus. Because in this culture that we're living, if I let it have place in my spirit and I think of myself as being anything but what God says I am, I can't do that. And people can get under my skin if I don't have Jesus. And the only reason they do is because I don't have Jesus in my life. There's no possible way that Jesus can be Lord in my life and you offend me. And I've been offended. You know what that told me? Get more Jesus. It was simple. I didn't have to go debate that one. It was like, go back to the place where you can get the river flowing out of your spirit. And you can see really what's going on. And releasing is not a problem. I don't know about y'all, but being in prison is not a cool thing. And I mean, there's people out here that look like they're free, but they are in prison. And they are mad as a hornet. And they can't sleep at night because somebody's their problem. And how did the enemy have that much influence in their life to convince them that somebody could be their problem? I've done that before. Pastoring New Life Fellowship. And it's been one level of the from one glory to the next. As by the Spirit of the Lord, he keeps changing me and giving me a word of hope in my own life that I can give to someone else. I know I'm here today because somebody's going to be helped. Somebody's going to be encouraged. Somebody's going to get up out of their prison cell and understand the door's been unlocked the whole time. You can walk out. You don't have to stay in captivity. He is our hope right now. He is an ever-present hope in time of need. There are three things that you and I really need to realize about our true identity and what God's purpose is for your life. And if you catch this today, you can step into your 100% potential. But you cannot step into it no other way. Every one of you have the potential, number one, to call out the best in others. That's number one. We'll give you one illustration, and it's all over the Bible. You have the potential not only to call the best out in others, but number two, to call on God on their behalf. Number three, you have the potential if you will stand there and turn the other cheek in the relationship and turn the other cheek in the relay and turn the other cheek in the relationship to do this third thing, to call the truth out on them. It's all over the Bible. Let me give you an illustration. Y'all ready for a good story? Anybody know about King David in the Bible? Raise your hand if you do. The others need to read the Bible. I'm going to tell you the story for you that hadn't read the Bible. And you're going to realize if that story's in the Bible, it fits you. Every one of us is touched by the life of David on some level or another. And the beautiful thing about David was he was a man after God's own heart. Now let's talk about a man after how he got to the place he was a man after God's own heart. He actually is the only person that we can find in Scripture that ever touched the ark and didn't die because of his heart. This is good. David's on the backside of a wilderness tending sheep. And God has relationships for him, but he's not having these relationships yet because God is ministering to David on the backside of a wilderness tending sheep. And if you go check out the history, there's strong indications that he was illegitimate. Strong indications. Why is that, Pastor? Well, just you start piecing the history together, but nonetheless, when Samuel the prophet called Jesse and said, go get all your boys, God's going to anoint a king today, Jesse didn't send for him. Y'all just think about that for a minute. He gets seven of his sons. He didn't go get the eighth one. He got seven. And he puts them in front of Samuel, and Samuel walks down the line. And, I mean, the scenario gets more and more evident. And God's trying to tell a story because some of us haven't got the affirmation we thought we deserved in our life, and we're having problems with the fact that we got daddy issues. And because he wasn't getting affirmation from daddy, God knew it. And Samuel walks all the way down the line to all the boys and gets to the last one and says, Jesse, you got any boys, other boys I don't know about? Because they ain't none of these the one. And Jesse said, yeah, I didn't, surely wasn't this one. He's on the, you want this one? And he went and got him. Anybody ever felt like that before? That you were that person that was the last in line, the last one to be picked for the team? Anybody felt like that? Everybody felt like, my goodness, I'm going to play, but man, I was the last one picked. Ain't nobody want me. But God wants you. The main one wants you. Matter of fact, he chose you first. It's just all the other ones that were operating in that 10% capacity are dummies. They don't know what's going on. Huh? Anybody feeling better about the fact that God might see you yet? Oh, yeah, this is good. The enemy is shaking in his pointy toe boots right now because somebody's going to catch it. You're going to get it, and you're going to receive what you need today because you don't have to stay in all that static. You can move from static to peace, joy, and innocence in the Lord. True identity today. And so they pull David up, and here Nathan is. He looks at David. And he calls the best out in him. His biological daddy wouldn't do it. His brothers wouldn't do it. Y'all go check it out. His brothers, man, they picked on him like his daddy did. But God had someone standing there nose to nose with him. Amen. And called out the best in him and anointed him king. I like that. Because now he ain't sitting on the throne, but he knows I've been anointed king. God says I'm a king. I know I ain't sitting on the throne yet, but God said. If you ever catch what God says and you hold on to what he says, he will finish what he started. He started something in David, and he knew that David needed the kind of relationships in his life that would call the best out in him. Amen. Not only does David learn how to deal with a lion and a bear on the backside of a wilderness, amen, and realize how to connect with God in his spirit, he develops the kind of heart that wanted to know God. And God didn't stop there because he had an experience with God, amen, that put the enemy under his feet as a lad. He brings relationships into his life that are grace-filled. They're calling you this, David, but I say you're this. Amen. You feel like this, but I say you're this. And God is speaking right now to some of you. He wants you to know you've thought this about yourself, amen, and you're imprisoned to this idea that this is who you are, but he said, no, you're not this, you're this. And when I start something, I finish it. So David, he's not on the throne yet, but he starts, amen, working with the armies of Israel. And he starts his small groups, and they grow. Amen. Soldiers are following David into battle. Before long, there's this song that's being sung about David. David hath killed his 10,000s and Saul his thousands. God's not through because he's not on the throne yet. Anybody on the throne yet? Nope, that's okay. But who are you? You're kings and you're priests and you're God's son. And he's going to finish what he started through you. But relationships are important, aren't they? And so God does something. He gets, David is running for his life now. He's hiding in caves. And God sends him some relationships. These relationships are the busted, broke, and disgusted group. It's in your Bible. You can go read it. I mean, they are the outcast. And they find David and rally with him. And guess what happens during that process of time with them hiding with David? They become mighty men of valor. And this is what's so awesome about these relationships in David's life is they began to create a wall. If you was going to get to David, you had to go through one of them, and the chance of you getting through one of them was like none. Giants were trying to get through them to David, and they couldn't. They was taking them out left and right. Kind of relationships that were calling on God on his behalf. They stood in the gap. They made up the hedge because there was an anointing on David, and God put the kind of relationships in that believed in that calling. And in the process, they became the sons of God they were supposed to be. Amen. Anybody ever been around people that are broke, busted, and disgusted? And you're thinking, doom, despair, agony, defeat the whole time. And that's not necessarily the group you want to hang out with, right? You be careful. I understand, be careful. Don't say amen to some things, but it's like, man, you're broke, busted, and disgusted because you're hard-headed, because you're not paying attention. You're in the ditch because you won't listen. And that's not the discussion they're having. David is a man after God's own heart. And God has a plan. So, David makes it to the throne because he had the kind of relationships that facilitated, amen, his anointing. And he comes to the throne. But when he gets on the throne, he needs another relationship. Really bad. You would think if you ever make it to the throne, you've arrived, wouldn't you? Everybody ever thought, man, if I'm on the throne as the king, I have arrived. Nope, the real battle's about to happen. The real challenges are about to happen. I'm talking about ministry in this house. Amen. You get to a place where you're actually operating in your divine design, and you're an equipper. You're investing in people. You're serving them. Amen. You're doing what kings do. You're making people come into their identity. You're serving them upward. You're serving them as you should be serving them, as a king and a priest. And David held both of those anointings in his life. Isn't that interesting? And so David's on the throne, and at a time when kings should be going to battle. Anybody ever miss your time with Jesus before? Anybody ever miss the time when you should have been putting the enemy under your feet and you didn't? You took a break. I need a break today. David didn't go out to battle when kings are to go out to battle, and he stayed at home, and he saw someone he wanted to fellowship with, and he over-fellowshipped, and he got in trouble, and now he's got to lie. Not only has he committed adultery with another man's wife, he's got to lie about it, and he's got a scheme. Now, he's the king. He's a man after God's own heart. And God says that's who he is. And now he's committed murder. And he's still on the throne. Y'all got a track with me today. He's still a king from God's lens because his heart is after God, but he's done stupid. He stepped out of his true potential and started thinking on a level that there's a lot of static. And God had a relationship for him that came and told him a story. He had a relationship before it was anointed that called the best out of it. He had relationships after he was anointed that called on God on his behalf. And the giants couldn't get to him. Now he needs a relationship that will call out the truth on him. And Nathan comes wisely. And Nathan, who loved David, he wasn't Samuel. He was a prophet. Samuel's dead now. The one that called the best out in David is dead. Now this new relationship is going to get real direct. But wisely, he tells him a story. And in that story, David's indignation rises up because somebody is taking advantage of someone else and taking a little lamb that belongs to them. And when they had many lambs, and taking that lamb and killing that lamb and serving it to their guests. And David said, oh, we're going to fix that. I want to, who's this person? Thou art the man. Do we need those kind of relationships in our life? Did you know our culture don't allow for that? If you're caught up in the culture of our nation right now, and love my nation, our culture don't allow for that. But the kingdom of God culture commands it. Accountability and the need for relationships that can speak into our lives, that bring the best out in us, that call on God on our behalf, but also calls the truth out on us. And when David heard, you're the man, he fell on his face and began to repent. The beautiful thing about that relationship, Marty, is that he didn't leave him there on his face. He went back to David and he said, David, get up. It's behind you. We got some work to do. You're the king. And I hear the Lord speaking right now to several of you. It's time to get up. Belly aching and crying and sucking your thumb over failure and the fact that you made mistakes. God ain't interested in it. He's glad that you have felt repented of it and you're thinking differently now. He's into that. But we got work to do. And for him to continue to do what he's ready to do, he needs you focused on who you are. You're his children. You're powerful. And for him to be glorified and for his glory to fill this earth, you got to get up. You can't be crying about it no more. Today, the Lord wants to take you to a new level of grace that you hadn't been. To get you there to where you can demonstrate grace on a level you haven't demonstrated it before, because what you're going through right now is not fair. How you've been treated is dead wrong. I agree with you, but I agree with you on the 10% side. I don't agree with you over here on your full potential. You need it. For you to become who God designed you to be, to get there to that identity that he trusted you with what's unfair. He trusted you with what's wrong with what's going on right now. He trusted you that you would utilize him as the buffer, as the source, as the miracle worker. And you would let him take you and all the pain that you had to endure. That's not fair from that 10% realm. Logically, we can all cry together. We've all been treated wrong. We've all been done wrong. We've all been talked about. We've all been beat up. We can just have a pity party on the 10% side. But if you're going to come over here on the Lord's side, get over it. The objective is not about what you went through. The objective is God's taking you somewhere you don't want to miss. And in order for you to get there, the process is necessary. Could we stand?